Welcome to Firm Foundation. This program is sponsored by Vision Communications and New Covenant Church. I'm here to inform, inspire, and empower you through the grace of God and through whatever wisdom and expertise God has given to me. And Christ is our firm foundation. We'd like you to visit us at New Covenant Church, Sundays at 10:30 a.m., where we are loving God, loving people, and serving the world. Also, visit my website, brianhudson.com, that's Brian with a Y, to learn more about my ministry and my business and see what I have to offer you on that website. Again, brianhudson.com, Brian with a Y. Got articles there and book resources and lots of topics you can research even by search field. I want to offer you a free PDF of my ebook, House of Wisdom, 30-Day Devotional. I want to offer you the ebook in PDF form of days 1 through 15, and you'll be able to read this book and take the insights it offers. It's a book based on the book of Proverbs, and there is, for each day, a brief lesson, a review question. It's important to start each day with the Lord as you leave your house, carrying God's word into your day. To receive the free ebook, just log in to brianhudson.com, and you'll see a link there to be able to provide me your email and your name, and I will send the ebook PDF to you. Today's productivity tip is managing information and ideas. Again, our program format is Bible teaching. We also have a conversation on some programs, and we also, for every program, have a productivity technology tip or insight. Today's Bible teaching is going to be how to delight in the Lord. I'd like to share with you an interview I had with Dr. Dave Burrows from Bahamas Faith Ministries. He is the pastor who took over after Miles Monroe, homegoing. We met in Las Vegas at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention, NAB. I want you to hear his insights on how God is using technology to advance his purposes. Okay, we're happy to be here with a friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Burrows, and we are at the Las Vegas Convention Center, attending the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, show, and this is a remarkable event, my first time being here. Pastor Dave, what are your impressions of this, your third or fourth time being here at this great convention?
No matter how many times you come, it's always an incredible experience because there's so much in terms of technology, new developments. It's just mind-boggling what has been the level of growth and the new technology and what man is able to do with technology. It's just amazing.
When I think about technology, I think about David. I think about David and how he made instruments and wrote songs and how he used the tools he had to worship God and advance God's kingdom. What's your thoughts about the importance of the tools that we have access to in using these tools to advance God's kingdom?
Well, every tool that's available was designed for us. So any invention that comes up is supposed to be used to advance the kingdom of God, because that's why we're here. We are agents. We're actually on assignment on earth. We're not really from earth. We're on assignment. And so while we're on earth, we're supposed to dominate our environment, and we're supposed to use any tool that's available to advance the kingdom of God. And technology really, really gives you great opportunities. We already see that evil forces are using technology, and they are basically capturing the minds of people everywhere, particularly young people. And if we never take advantage of the technology, we become the victims of the technology. So we definitely have to take advantage of it in order to promote good. Because if the only thing that's available is evil, then that's what everybody gravitates to. So we have to promote good using technology.
Yeah. Dr. Burrows, I remember learning way back in college in my broadcast minor that, and I thought about this many times, that when FCC began issuing TV licenses, when TV began to be available, the churches stood back and said, it's a one-eyed devil. Don't touch it.
Right.
So is it too late for us to recover and take this technology and use it
for God's glory in ways that we can take back what the devil has stolen?
I would say it's too late to completely reverse it, but it's not too late to take advantage of opportunities. And believe it or not, we have more resources than we recognize. You know, I always say, I said this many times before, that if Christians produce movies and only showed them in churches, they would still make more money than all the theaters. But we haven't gotten together, we haven't harnessed our resources, we haven't collaborated to advance the kingdom through technology. There are tremendous opportunities still available to us. The window is actually closing because, as you can see in the world today, the world is intent on shutting the church out, the church's message, the Bible, trying to make it illegal, really, I mean, over a process of time. So opportunity is still available. The Bible says to work while it's still day. So we still have some daylight. But if we don't do anything, then the daylight turns to night pretty quickly.
I've noticed that we see a lot of these channels like History Channel, movies like Noah, where they are basically reinterpreting biblical truth. Now, there's some good movies out there that tell it right, and I agree with you that, you know, we can't reverse everything, but we must seize the opportunity now with these type of tools and train our young people in our churches how to use these tools to produce media that honors God and tells the truth.
Absolutely. We can't expect someone else to tell our story. You know, we have to tell the story. Sometimes people criticize Hollywood for misinterpreting biblical, you know, themes. But if they don't know the Bible, I mean, they're just doing it from their perspective. And, you know, when we have an intimate relationship with God, there are things that we would know that a guy who's just doing a movie based upon the facts as he know it, as he knows it, they definitely are not going to get it right. And we can't expect them to get it right. So we need to do it or be a part of the process.
Talk to us about Bahamas Faith Ministries. What's happening in the Bahamas?
Well, Bahamas is good. You know, the Bahamas has the same challenges that we have all over the world. But Bahamas Faith Ministries is a light in the Bahamas. We're continuing to advance the kingdom message. We are continuing to transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. So we are doing our part, and we've had tremendous support in the community in spite of Dr. Monroe's passing. And things are going very well. There's a lot to be done. There are a lot of challenges, but we're doing very well.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dave, for this time. I've enjoyed seeing you here at this great convention, and we had purposed to do this some time ago, so I'm glad that we did it. And we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
pleasure.
Pastor.
Thank you
so much.
Always enjoy it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let me share with you today's productivity technology insight. Everything we do that is important can be considered a project. Every project needs the following items: a clear reason or purpose, a timetable or calendar, a scope, a budget, and a plan of managing what you're trying to do. Now, on the issue of scope, this is important because sometimes we'll take on a project without thinking about how long it would take, how much it involves, and sometimes we don't even have enough resources to finish what we envision doing. So managing the scope, once you have a purpose that's clear and a reason for doing what you're doing, having a timetable and a calendar, right? Commit to it, put some dates down, but the scope is such an important feature. How much of it can you do and will you do? The budget, what does it cost? Some things cost little, some things cost a lot. Understand the budget is important. How you'll manage what you're going to do, who you need to help you get those things done, tools you need, software, hardware, you know, what products you might need. There's also priorities. What's first, what's second, what's third? There are resources you'll need, human resources, material resources, information. But one of the most important tasks of a project is gathering and organizing your notes, your information, your ideas. For that, I recommend a free app called Evernote. Evernote, the way it sounds, evernote.com. And this is a cloud-based app like Dropbox, but it's an excellent tool for writing down your notes, copying and pasting content from the web, recording voice notes, taking and storing snapshots, and more. Now, here's the thing about Evernote. The best feature is this. If you have the app installed on your phone or your tablet, laptop, desktop, computer, all your notes, whatever you type in or copy and paste in or whatever voice notes you make or photographs you take to document something, all of that will be automatically available and synchronized to every device that you own, on which you are logged in with the same account. That's a very powerful feature. And sometimes we get stuck trying to jot things down on pieces of paper. We may even type it into a computer and go into kind of a Word document, into your documents folder. Then when you're out in the field without your laptop, you know, you don't have access to your notes. So Evernote is a free tool, a great productivity tool, evernote.com. The paid version of Evernote has more features, such as it can convert PDFs into a searchable document. So it does OCR. It reads the text of that image, that PDF, and you can go back and do a search and find content embedded in the PDF. That's a great, powerful feature. But the free version is more than enough for most of what you want to do. So that is today's productivity technology tip. I want to share with you today a teaching entitled How to Delight in the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." He shall bring it to pass. What is it? Well, it is whatever you need or want that God really wants for you. Delight is a simple word with profound significance. So your delight reveals your desire, disposition, and direction. It's an action word, a verb. It's something that we actually do. We delight in the Lord. We act on what we have on the inside. And because it's an important key word, I want to teach you about it today. God promised that if you delight in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, Jesus said that a tree is known by its fruit. And Paul said that we should examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are indeed disqualified?" We take a lot for granted, but we only become better Christians by examination of ourselves, by God's promises, and through accepting the Lord's challenges to grow and change in grace. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." That is something important for us to know. The definition of delight is to take pleasure in, desire, incline to bend, to favor, be well pleased, and to have pleasure. So delight is to incline or bend ourselves toward the objects of our desire and the sources of our pleasure. Now, most of our pain or satisfaction in life comes from what we want, what we desire, and how we are bent that way. It both leads us into good places and bad places. But most importantly, the direction of our bent or delight determines our success in achieving the desires of our heart. Please hear that. Delight is a desire that bends us, right? That shapes us and molds us a certain way. It's obvious, really, think about it, that people live in frustration sometimes because they miss the principle. If we are wanting, if we're bent toward things that are bad for us and don't stay away from that stuff, that affects our overall life. Now, our good intentions are one thing, but what we actually are doing and want to do is something else. I mean, want to do in terms of what we actually do, because face it, we all do what we want to do. Now, God's word provides guidance into how to delight in life. Again, look at our text, Psalm 37, verse 3. "Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness, right? He says, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, be bent toward God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, note these key words, because action words denote how we're bent, okay, how we're motivated. First, he said, trust in the Lord, right? Verb, trust. He said, do what? Do good. He said, dwell, where? In the land. He said, feed on what? His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit what? Your way to God. And do what? Finally, trust in him. See those words? Trust, do, dwell, feed, delight, commit, trust. Those are decisions we make. We're not talking about doing work in our own strength. We're talking about what pleases God. How to receive the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in God. Delight yourself in the things that you want out of life. So the key promise of the text is, again, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is a much better motivation than simply wanting more stuff. The old saying is true. The best things in life are free, though not cheap. You know, Christ, what Christ did is free for us, but it cost him a lot. For example, I never grow tired of a view of the water at an ocean or a lake that goes out to the horizon where the water touches the sky. I mean, to me, it's something very, very simple. I delight in that. I'm bent toward seeing it. Why? Because it's, to me, it's simple, powerful, and timeless. It reminds me of the simplicity power of God. And so that when I see that scene or envision it, or go look at my pictures, I have photographs of it, that I am bent to remind myself that God is greater than everything else I'm going through, all right? Again, God can use any number of parables and ways to encourage us. Seeing the ocean meet the sky reminds me of the bigness of God and the greatness of living this life. I delight in the Lord when I see these things. Not just that, but I delight in the opportunity to be united to my wife for 38 years, my best friend and my lover and mother of my four children and one grandchild and one on the way. And I delight. I'm bent toward her. I delight in studying and teaching God's word because of the blessing and the freedom it brings to people. I also delight in helping and empowering people. We do a lot of work in our ministry. We do, of course, Bible teaching and prayer and visiting people who are in need and ministering to men and women and youth. And we do a media camp every summer to help young folk. I delight in creative work, such as photography and designing and producing media and writing. I mean, these are all things I'm bent toward and have been for a long time. There's no way I cannot not write. I cannot not help people. I'm bent that way now. I delight in the Lord in these areas. And so I receive the desires of my heart. So then understand this, that to delight then is to incline or bend ourselves toward the objects of our desire and the sources of our pleasure. So we are shaped by our bents and inclinations. And the idea of this bending represents a change in character, right? Our training, our influences, our experiences, all find expression in how we delight. And so that we are unique, but we share this blessing that God is helping us to discover the character of Christ so that we can become who God has planned for us to become and we want to become and fulfill our destiny. Let's get practical here. If you want to become a doctor, you have to have a bent towards science. I mean, when you're a teenager and you know, bent toward physiology and toward wanting to cure and help people. There's no physician who's going to be good at medical science who's not bent toward science and physiology and so forth. If you want to become a photographer, you have to be bent towards seeing how light interacts with objects and subjects. You have to have a bent toward the science of photography in areas such as aperture priority and shutter priority and light sensitivity and framing, rule of thirds and all that. I mean, every field, every endeavor where people are excellent and excel, they are bent that way, all right? They are inclined. They delight in that. So what you delight in, you're going to receive. And that's good and bad, by the way. We delight sometimes in the wrong things, things that are bad for us. So when a person's delight goes in the negative direction, some people are bent to try to dominate other people or to see oneself as superior or to belittle people who disagree with them and be self-serving. That becomes a bent. In Jeremiah 9:23, it reads as follows. Thus saith the Lord God, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Therefore, I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. That's a powerful scripture, because we see that people can delight in their wealth and their strength and their own attributes. When people develop a selfish bent or bent away from the things of God, again, they're going to receive that because they're bent toward that. But not all things we desire please God. And sometimes we desire things that take us away from the grace of God and the goodness of God and the best God has for us. So our delight is not only the thing that we should consider. We must consider what delights the Lord. What does he delight in? Again, our scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9, it said in verse 24, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. All right. So then God says, I delight in loving kindness and judgment and righteousness. So then we want our delight to align with God. Better yet, let's make sure we're pleasing God first. That'll help us be clear about how we should delight and be bent and incline ourselves. Numbers 14:7 says, and they spoke to all the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is a exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So the instruction was, if we delight in God, he'll help us navigate the challenges of life, even the unknown things, right? Once we have a bent toward God, we can safely navigate difficulty. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22:19, in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me, right? So we want to delight in God, and God will delight in us. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. God delights in his way. The Bible says in Psalm 94:18, if I may say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In a multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. You see, our hearts need to become trained toward God. There also is a problem where sometimes people's hearts become trained toward unhealthy delights. Proverbs 1:22 says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but only in expressing his own heart. Now, David, as we see in the Psalms, trained his heart to delight in God. Psalm 119:16 says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalm 119:24 says, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. In fact, that chapter, that book of Psalms 119 has many verses wherein David talks about his delights. For example, 119:174 says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law or your word is my delight. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 talks about a struggle he had faced and how that he said the thing that I should not do, I do. What I should do, I'm not doing. And he resolved the issue this way. It says in Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. See, so Paul just resolve the issue by letting himself be bent toward the word of God in the inner man, not bent toward what he felt like doing, what he felt like saying. You know, we give in so much to how we feel, right? We tell folk, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You ought to keep that piece of your mind, all right? Don't give that up. Let's be bent toward the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, what's the better angels of our nature, as some people say. All right, Luke 12:31. Jesus said, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Well, that's really the same as delighting, all right? Seek God's kingdom, delight in God's kingdom, and all the things you really want, say you want, God has them for you. He just wants you to come his way, right, to receive the things in life that you need and that you want, all right? Going back to Old Testament, Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, everyone who's thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? God says, listen to me carefully and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Isaiah 58, verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, my father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, I trust you were encouraged by this lesson today, how to delight in the Lord, what it means to delight, because we read scriptures and run right through, you know, the meat of it. But I trust that you will decide, even today, to just examine yourself. Look at the things you delight in, the things you want to do, the things that you are inclined towards. And just ask yourself, is this healthy for me? And some things aren't even sinful, just not useful. Doesn't fit your purpose, right? Does not help you go where God is trying to lead you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. God bless you. I want to offer you who are viewing or listening today a free ebook in PDF format. The book offer is The House of Wisdom, which is a devotional designed for 30 days. I'm going to send you a PDF of the ebook of days 1 through 15. To receive your free ebook by email, log in to brianhudson.com, provide your name and email address, and I will send the ebook of days 1 through 15. It's an easy read booklet that contains verses from the book of Proverbs, a brief lesson, and a review question. It's important to start your day with the Lord and leave your house carrying insight from God's word. Thank you for joining me today on Firm Foundation. I trust you were blessed and encouraged. Visit brianhudson.com, again, Brian with a Y, for more insight and information. I've also have at that site a lot of access to books, to articles, a lot of things you can use and will be blessed in having in your life. Also, if you need digital media production, web development, consulting, or publishing services, be sure to visit Vision Communications website at visioncomsolutions.com. Again, visioncomsolutions.com. We do a lot of great work with ministries and individuals, helping them and empowering them with media to do what they have in their hearts to do. That's a part of my mission, part of my ministry. And finally, I'll remind you of this. Don't forget, every good thing happens on a firm foundation. God bless you. Our theme music for Firm Foundation is Midnight Dance by Jeff Payne of Jeff Payne Entertainment.